Today is the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, such confidence we have through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient to think anything of ourselves as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also hath made us fit ministers of the New Testament, not in the letter, but in the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit quickeneth. Now, if the ministration of death engraven with letters upon stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which is made void, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather in glory? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more the ministration of justice aboundeth in glory. The Gospel for the Mass today is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 10. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, Blessed are the eyes that see the things which you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings have desired to see the things that you see and have not seen them, and to hear the things that you hear and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up, tempting him, saying, Master, what must I do to possess eternal life? But he said to him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? He answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, and with thy whole soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said to him, Thou hast answered rightly. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, wishing to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, who also stripped him, and having wounded him, went away, leaving him half dead. And it chanced that a certain priest went down the same way, and seeing him, passed by. In like manner also a Levite, when he was near the place and saw him, passed by. But a certain Samaritan, being on his journey, came near him, and seeing him, was moved with compassion. And going up to him, bound up his wounds, and pouring in oil and wine, and setting him upon his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 pence, and gave to the host, and said, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou shalt spend over and above, I at my return will repay thee. Which of these three, in thy opinion, was neighbor to him that fell among robbers? But he said, He that showed mercy to him. And Jesus said to him, Go and do thou in like manner. Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Today we see in the Gospel our Lord in his conversation with the lawyer regarding charity, corrects the false ideas of this man regarding charity, although he can recite the answers correctly that our Lord asks. He answers our Lord correctly. The application sometimes is lacking, and he just has to correct the false ideas of those in the exercise of what is known. Sometimes that's also a problem even for us. A person can know all of this catechism, rote memorization, can know everything about the catechism, but he fails miserably in his practice. And so we need to think about it and think about our need to practice this virtue of charity and the proper practice of it. First of all, we need to know, of course, what it is. You probably can recite it from memory, what the virtue of charity is. Charity is the love of God. It's by which we love God above all things. Here in the Gospel, he says that to love God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. So it's the love of God. And then the charity that we exercise towards neighbor is a love of neighbor for the sake of God, giving the motive of that love of neighbor. It's based on the love of God. We love our neighbor in consequence of the fact that we love God. And you can only have a charity towards neighbor if it's based on the love of God. That's something that's not very well understood in today's society. They think that we can love others, have a charity towards others, without having a love of God, which is impossible. We see God in our neighbor. And because we see God in our neighbor, we see that either he has the life of God in his soul or is capable of the life of God in his soul. We love him. It is different than the love that God has for us. The love that God has for us precedes any good that we have in ourselves. And the love that God has for us is what makes us good. On the other hand, we love others because of the good that we already see in them. We see the image of God in them, and so we love them as a consequence of that goodness that they have. We love them because of the fact that God has loved them. We love, the love that we have has to be such that it extends to all who are in heaven or capable of heaven, the charity that we have towards them. And as I say, we need to have a certain order. There's a certain order and degree of this love. It's based on the love of God. And as the gospel says, it's such that we love God with all of our soul, all of our mind, with all our strength. We love him 100%. We can't say we just love him maybe 80%, and we love other things 20%. It says, with all your mind, not with just 80%. Not with 90%. Not with 95%. Not with 97%. Not with 99.9%. With your whole heart, with your whole soul, with your whole mind. If you love something else, and God is not the first priority, the thing that is your first priority for you becomes your God, and you are adoring an idol. Pure and simple. Whatever is your number one priority, that becomes for you your God. You know, we recite the first commandment. I'm the Lord thy God, thou shalt have strange gods before me. And we say, oh yeah, that's right, the idols of the Old Testament, they made idols and that was it. Many people have idols today, many, many people, although it's not maybe an idol that you have a statue that you are such that you give veneration to it, like in the Old Testament, but it's what you value more than God. If you value other things more than God, that becomes your idol. And so it's an offense against the first commandment if we don't love God with all that we have. In fact, that is the reason why we have the faculty of the will. The faculty of the will is meant to love God. The faculty of the intellect is meant to know God. And you can't love what you don't know, so you have to have a knowledge of God, which precedes then the love of God. But it's for that reason that we are given those faculties. And we can truly only have a love, as I say, of those who are either in heaven or capable of heaven. Which means you can only love rational creatures who are capable of heaven. Oftentimes we use this term of charity or love in an extended way, which is inaccurate. You know, you see people say they love their dog or they love their cat, or you know, these symbols, I heart my cat or I heart my dog, you know, these kinds of things. It's foolish. It's foolish. The love we have is the love of God and the love of neighbor for the sake of God, because we see some goodness in them, or they're able to, that they exist or can exist. And so we have to remember the importance of this, and we also then have to remember also that there is an order of charity. There's also an order of charity that we have to keep in mind. The order of charity, firstly, has to do with the fact that we love another for the good, for the sake of their souls. We want to help their soul. We want to be helpful to their souls so that we and they can get to heaven. If we take care merely of the good things of their regarding to their temporal well-being without helping them with regard to their spiritual well-being, we do a disservice to them. It's particularly awkward in our society today because of the fact that we live in a pluralistic society, that we be nice to everybody, nice, quote unquote, but we don't really concern ourselves with the supernatural good of their soul. And oftentimes we hesitate to say anything because we might offend them. Perish the thought of offending them by talking about their salvation of their souls. You know, it's a great disservice, you know, because the person, by what they're doing or not doing, they're doing great damage to their soul, and everybody keeps quiet about it. And everybody just sits there and chats and has a nice, you know, cup of tea while the person is living a life which is going to be such that it's going to be end up with a eternity in the underworld, the world down below, in Hades. It's something that we, of course, need to think about. The good of the soul is far outweighs any temporal good. And the fact that maybe you might do something nice for somebody, which is not necessarily helpful to them, supernaturally speaking. It's not that you shouldn't do something nice for them. Just like in the gospel where the Good Samaritan went to take the man who fell among robbers and took him in, took care of him. It's a good thing. But to only take care of the body without any concern of the soul, that you're doing a disservice to them. You help them, but you have a concern for their soul. That's why Catholic charities in years gone by would take people in and take care of them, but not just take care of them materially speaking, but help them with regard to their spiritual well-being. There would be places where they would take them in. There would be places, for instance, for children who did not have parents, to put them in orphanages, put them in places where they were cared for, and they would take care of not just their temporal concerns, but also would raise them in the faith, would help them with regard to the salvation of their soul, instruct them, help them to learn about the essentials in order to be able to, so they could save their souls. So our concern has to be, firstly, with the spiritual well-being. Even we as Catholics, even families, have sometimes a situation where we do a disservice even to the children that we have because we maybe care for them with regard to clothing them, sheltering them, feeding them, those kinds of things, and it's an important, it's an essential part. It's an obligation that you have as parents. But oftentimes then what's shirked is the good of their souls. If you take care of their bodies and if you take care of their temporal concern, but you don't take care of their souls and encourage them to do the things that they should do and give them the good example of what you should do in order to help them so that they can save their souls, you're not fulfilling the role you have as parents. So it's important to remember that that spiritual good of the soul outweighs the material care that you have for their bodies. It means you take care of both, but the priority is for their souls, the good of their souls. There also is another thing that needs to be considered as well, and you need to remember this also, is that there is a certain order of charity with regard to the degree that we care for others. The rule is that we care for others, and there's an order that we care for others. It's to the degree that they are close to God or close to ourselves. So those souls that are consecrated to God, those souls that are devoted to the service of God, are worthy of our charity. They are such that they've given up what they otherwise would do in order for the service of God. And so, therefore, they need to be supported because they are part of the mystical body, just as we, and they are helping us by daily taking care of their own spiritual needs and the spiritual needs of those who they pray for, who they're linked to in the mystical body. So those who are close to God deserve our charity, our support. Also, there's also an order, those who are closer to us. So your immediate family, your children, your parents, grandparents, those who are closer to you also, there's a certain degree of charity that you need to exhibit towards them. It's true that there might be people who are starving in Outer Mongolia, but there's not a whole heck of a lot you can do for them. Okay? You know, it might be such that your heart goes out to them, perhaps, but there's not much you can do. You know, granted, there are the foreign missions, and you try to help them in certain ways, but there's a limit. And there's also wrong for you if you were, for instance, a man gets his paycheck, gets home from work, he's coming home from work after he gets his paycheck, and he sees someone with a cardboard sign out saying, I need money, you know, I'm homeless, I'm destitute, and he takes the paycheck and gives it to them so he doesn't have any money to take home to provide for the needs of his family. There's an order there, and he'd be sinning by taking all of his income and giving it to the fellow that with a cardboard sign and neglecting his own family. So, you know, there is a certain order there as well. I'm not saying that sometimes we shouldn't help these people, presuming, of course, that their needs are honest and real. But by the same token, nevertheless, there's an order. You have to take care of what is close to home, what is close to you, what you have as your obligations as well. And so these things are all very important, and it's important that we do them and do them for the right motive, for the right reasons. It's an important thing that we need to remind ourselves of, and to, of course, and most importantly, to remember that this order has to do primarily, too, as I mentioned, with regard to the spiritual good of souls, firstly, and then secondly, and consequently, because the soul is linked to the body, then to take care of the souls of others as well. And so knowing this, we have to remember this, and so we can have the proper understanding of charity to do what we do for the love of God so that we can work to, of course, draw closer to him by his service, by love of him, and by uniting ourselves to him by our love, by our charity, so that being united to our Lord, Almighty God, in charity and grace in this life, we also then will be united to him eternally in the life to come. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.